There's a morning newscast in Oregon, and get up to our carousel reel if you get a moment at coasttocoastam.com and take a look at the first button there. Just click that, because while they were on the air doing their newscast, a UFO floats right behind them. It's really weird. Lots of strange things going on. Anyway, we're going to come back with more open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast as I leave the cave tonight and head out to Los Angeles, Denver for the first weekend for our Beyond Belief TV shows, and then back. But boy, I missed all the fires. I missed the mudstorms. But I got hit with -7 degrees weather in St. Louis, which was absolutely bitter cold. It's coldest it's been since I can remember. I mean, way too cold. Anyways, to the phones we go, west of the Rockies. Steve's in Lake Tahoe, California. Steven, take it away.
Oh, hey, hi, George.
Hi, Steve. How you been?
I'm doing well, thanks. In 1982,
okay,
I was a seasonal firefighter on the Modoc National Forest. It's extreme northeastern California, rather remote, kind of near the Oregon border up there near Klamath Falls, Lava Beds National Monument. Anyway, small four-man fire crew, and the boss, he lived in a little trailer adjacent to our old cabin right on Medicine Lake.
Okay.
And there'd been this Indian fellow who'd been hanging around for weeks, experienced with firefighting and whatnot. He kept thinking he could get on the crew, but the protocol was such as you had to do it all in advance, and we had our little crew, all four of us, and there was no chance he could be on it, but he kind of wouldn't take no for
it. And who paid you guys, the county?
No, this was the U.S. Forest Service Department of Agriculture.
Ah, okay.
Forest Service, small fire crew. And let's see. So we're well familiar with this fella. I can't remember his name anymore. And, we're up early in the morning doing the, they call them the PTs, the physical exercise and all, getting ready for the day. And he's up with us again trying to, join us. And he goes, hey, fellas, look what I found here. And, what? And he takes us out to the edge of Medicine Lake. And there's this huge footprint, but just one. It must be 18, 20 inches long, six inches wide. And it's like, okay. And then we're all, where's the next one?
But yeah.
The next one was then into the swampy edge of the lake. So that kind of made sense, that there was only one, odd as that was. And the boss is there, the crew boss, and he says, boy, this is strange, fellas. Just last night, sometimes he'd have his little four-year-old up there, spent the night in his trailer. He goes, my son woke me up in the middle of the night and said, Daddy, Bigfoot's out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he just kind of brushed it off until a couple hours later, whoa, there is a print. And it caused enough interest. Everyone was pretty skeptical, I think. But anyway, it caused enough interest. We called the Big Cheese, the district ranger, they call him, an hour and a half away, Tule Lake. He comes up. We didn't think he would. He came up, hour and a half up four-wheel drive, pretty rough road, one way up like that. He comes up. And he's quite interested. He's trying to take a print of it, a plaster cast,
Yeah, of course.
And I'm watching him do this. And when I was a kid growing up, I did this stuff all the time. I was an expert at it. And I'm watching him, and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work because it was too watered down. But I was like almost a kid. I was in my young 20s, my first big jobs of that nature, which I continued doing, most of my working life. And I was like, I was too intimidated to say to the big boss man, the district ranger, hey, you're screwing it up, pal. Put more plaster in there, whatever it is.
Right.
Which is exactly what's the case. And he failed to get a copy of it.
Oh, gosh, that would have been a relic.
Well, it would have helped if he could have got that. But, That is just one of my Bigfoot stories. I do have some more, actually. Is there time for one more?
No, I've got so many calls rolling in here, Stephen. But let me ask you this. Have you, you've obviously have had reports out in that area before?
Well, yeah, Northern California, most anywhere up in there is pretty well known for a lot. But I actually have over the years, that was my first experience. I have some more.
What do you think they are?
Well, I used to go with the straight up anthropological kind of
Physical creature.
yeah, and I still kind of do. But I think I heard you earlier, and I had already come up with this on my own because of so many instances of report sightings, even shootings, and then nothing comes of it, and this and that. I kind of come to the interdimensional kind of thing as myself. Like there's got to be something special going on besides just a normal flesh
Yeah, there's something weird going on here. Stephen, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to our Skype caller, Marcus, way out in the Netherlands. Marcus, how have you been?
Hey, George. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and I hope you're well. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, that's why I'm calling.
Oh, good. You're okay, huh?
What's been happening?
Everything's good here in the United States. How about you?
Well, lots of things going on in Europe and in the Netherlands.
Oh, yeah.
We have this. There's this minister of the EU, and he's a globalist, and he wants to set up a tax system for everybody in Europe.
A tax system? Boy, that's not going to go over well, is it?
And he wants to have a military, European military. So that's not good. And then in the Netherlands, we have a new law coming up.
What's that?
It's called translated. It's called the Dragnet system.
And what, how does that work?
Well, let's say that you have a suspect of terrorism or something,
All right.
and then they are allowed to listen in on the whole block, hack your computer, like a phishing net, you see?
Yeah, until they catch you.
Yeah, and then they can listen in and wiretap everyone.
And if you're innocent, they still get it all, don't they?
And for the rest, I'm doing good. I made a website.
Oh,
I
for
think
what? What do you do? What are you doing now?
well, I was into solo podcasting a little,
Yeah.
and now I want to take it to the next level. So I set up a website, and then
What's the URL?
and I want to do an interviews with lots of people, and I got word back from LA Mazzulli.
Oh, LA's a great guy. Well, how do people get to your website? What is it?
Oh, it's samplethisinstead.com.
One more time.
Samplethisinstead.com.
Well, I see I'm having trouble hearing that second word. Sample was the first one?
Yeah, this.
Sample?
Sample this instead.
Sample this instead.
Instead.
Okay. All right.
Dot
Sample
com,
this
yeah.
instead. Maybe what we'll do, Marcus, is feature you on one of our podcast specials that we do. I'll have Tom get some information from you. Speaking of Tom, what do you have for us, Tom? Back there with texts or tweets.
We have a text from Johnny in Fort Worth, Texas. Love the Bigfoot guest. Short of capturing one, what do you think is the best evidence that proves that Bigfoot is real?
God, DNA, hair samples,
So much.
pictures,
So much.
videos,
Yeah.
so many different things like that
Yeah.
we should be able to get. We've had some strange pictures. You know, the Patterson-Gimlin film, some people think it's a hoax. It's a strange one. Remember that one of
Oh, yeah.
Bigfoot lumbering around out
Oh,
there in the
yeah.
woods
Yeah.
and stuff like that? But that's what we need.
I can't wait to see one.
We need more video. Would you like to see one up
I would
front, personal?
love to see a
Would you
Bigfoot.
freak?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
I bet you'd shake.
I not even close. I
Would you
was
shake if you saw an alien gray?
No, I'd stay and study him and try to communicate.
You really would.
Absolutely, 100%.
Would you feel threatened at all?
No.
Interesting take, Tommy.
Yeah.
That
Would
surprises me
you?
and you. I would love to get them on the show. I would. If we found an alien gray, through an interpreter, because I don't think they'd speak English, I would love to get them on the program.
Well, see, now I have a theory. I think they're intelligent enough that they know all languages.
Why don't you find me an extraterrestrial that we can interview and take phone calls with?
You know what? I'll keep looking.
You might find one.
You never know.
Let's go to Buck in Limestone, West Virginia. Hello, Buckingham.
Hey, George. Good morning to you, and thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for doing that Coast Insiders promo for us.
My pleasure. My pleasure, George. Anytime. Hey, well, listen, I tried to get through, and I was unsuccessful, during some of the prediction shows.
Aha. Okay.
And I've got a real jaw dropper for you.
All right, a prediction on yours, okay?
Yes, and that is, of course, we know that Prince Harry and that Meghan Markle are going to get married, right?
Right, right.
And well, they don't have a date set. Of course, it'll be sometime after his brother's baby's born. But here's the thing. Here's my prediction. They will be divorced within 6 months. Okay, and then 3 months after that, we're going to find out that this Meghan Markle is pregnant.
Whoa. Why are they divorcing so fast, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know. Is this just came to me.
Have you done these things before?
Occasionally, yes. It's intermittent. Not every year, but occasionally I do get them, George. And I can't say they come to me in a dream because it's mostly in the daytime.
Have you been accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, an earthquake out in California, I predicted that one. Because I told my wife, I said, look, I see this, keep seeing this baseball game, and all the guys are on the field are pointing into the stands. And here, we were sitting at the table, dinner table, and we had television on, and that earthquake was out there, happened, and they showed a film clip of the baseball game. I don't think it was the Giants, I believe, and they showed the pitcher pointing to the stands, and what it was, he was pointing to his wife and telling her to get out of the stadium. And that was the exact same picture I saw.
That's amazing. Tom, by the way, wants you to do a promo about why you like Coast to Coast. So he wants you to say something. So since
oh,
I have
man,
you, go ahead.
I've got a million reasons why I like Coast to Coast. I sure do wish you guys would come take a road show to somewhere around Pittsburgh.
We might do that in a
you
year
know,
or two.
My brother said if you do, he'll drive. He'll even pay the way and pay for a motel room for us.
And so you'd go up there?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
All right, Buck. Thanks. It's always good talking to you. Let's go next to Jim in Newark, Delaware. Hey, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Happy New Year.
You too. Hope you have a great one.
I have a couple.
How was your 2017?
It was bad. I lost my soulmate.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry to hear
that. I've been with her for 25 years. She died of cancer.
Oh, how old was she?
Yeah. She was 55.
Oh, way too young. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Hey, I got two questions that are related to each other.
Okay.
Don't you think it's more of a priority to insulate the electric grid from sea to shining sea?
Absolutely.
Than to build a wall down south?
Yep, 120%. That's the first thing we should be doing, is fixing the electrical grid. And I don't understand, Jimmy, why some of these companies that make a living on the internet aren't coming up with this idea too, pushing it.
Yeah.
Amazon.com should be leading the forefront to get this done.
Yeah. Another thing, George. George.
Yeah.
How will we insulate our individual houses when we have to do that?
Well, if the entire grid is insulated, we'll be okay because we'll be able to get power. But I see where you're coming, because what happens if the power grid gets insulated and our own homes aren't? Will they get fried? That's an interesting question. And the next time we do a power grid story and show, I'm going to bring that up because that's kind of a paradox, isn't it? Good question. Great question, as a matter of fact. See, I've always assumed you fix the grid, you'll keep getting power into your house, but can your wires get fried from an EMP by themselves? Because if that's the case, you've insulated the grid, but you still can't get power into your home. Good point. Aaron is in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Welcome to the program. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, George. How are you? Can
okay.
you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, everything's good.
Cool. I talked to you before. You're a class act. You're a class act. You're a great host.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I was calling just to talk about some medical problems I have going on. I have cerebral palsy, and I'm also I have an eye that has a rare birth defect, and it's so bad that I'm gonna have to get it removed. That's on the 24th.
They're gonna remove your eye?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Oh my! Can you see it out of it at all?
No, I'm blind in that eye.
You're blind in that eye.
But I guess just what I want to say is that. During this, it's been bothering me for over a year now, and during this time, it's important to have great people in your life, and it's important to have a goal, even if your goal is just to make it through the day. That's something, you know.
Yeah.
It's just important to stay positive and have good people in your life.
Good for you.
And that's just what I want to say. And also, I have a book. I have a book out.
You do? You wrote a book?
I did. Yeah, I have a book out.
What's it called?
It's called Life's Endless Opportunities. It's on Amazon.
All right. Good for you. Let's hope some people go to Amazon to check it out. What's the title one more time?
Life's Endless Opportunities.
Okay. Excellent. When did you write this, Aaron?
What was that?
When did you write the book?
I started it like 4 years ago, and it was a 2.5-year project. It came out and
well, good for you, good for you. And with the palsy that you have, were you born with it, or was this something that developed later on in life?
Cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
Cerebral palsy is a disability caused by lack of oxygen during or after birth.
It's always when you're being born, I guess.
Yeah, it's a brain injury caused by a lack of oxygen. And, you know, it's not all bad, you know, because I think I have kind of a different perspective on life. And
were you able to go to regular schools, or did you have to go to a special education program?
I was in regular schools, but I'm not going to lie. I played the system and pretended I couldn't work and got out of work.
All right. Good for you, and good luck on your operation on your eye. And, look, they do remarkable things now cosmetically, too. You will find to be absolutely amazing. So I think you're going to be in real good hands. Look, I'm going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with more open lines. Those of you on hold, just hang right there. We will rapidly get to you and more callers that keep rolling in on Coast to Coast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Email me whenever you want at george@coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. And this is our final segment of Open Lines. UFO Phil standing in the wings. Let's go to the phones. Let's go. Whose turn is it here? It's Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie.
Hello, George. Have you read the book Tooth Truth by a dentist? He's an alternative dentist by the name of Dr. Frank Jerome.
I have not. Tell me about it.
He told me that the main thing he wanted to stress, among many other things, is the poisonous nature of mercury in your teeth, and he recommends in his book to have that taken out and replaced, and a lot of other things are in his book.
Well, you're absolutely right, by the way. You know, I did 2 years of pre-dental school at the University of Detroit. And one of the things they tried to keep telling us was, take the mercury fillings out of people and put this new ceramic-type stuff in there. But they did stress, Annie, you had to be very careful when you drilled it to make sure you got all the little pieces because you didn't want people to swallow the mercury.
My point is that he has been attempting to get in touch with you for some time.
Well, he's not doing the right thing because...
He went through channels on your website.
Well, gosh, but you know how many people go through that?
Yes.
Send me an email with his contact info. Can you do that?
We did that about 10 times.
No, we're not getting anything. I don't know what's wrong.
Why don't I give you this off the air and you can
I'll let you, yeah, give it to Tom, okay? You ready? Hold on.
Yes.
I'll put you on hold. And Tom, let's go to you for our last text or tweet and then pick up Annie's phone call.
Sure, absolutely. So let's do a tweet from Scourge. His name is Scourge.
Scourge?
Scourge, S-C. What influence, if any, does an eclipse have on those born during it?
That's an interesting question.
It is an interesting question.
You know what? When we have eclipses, strange things happen. I don't know if it's, I don't believe in coincidence, but I don't know if it has anything to do with the eclipse or not. I'll tell you, when I saw the total eclipse a couple months ago here in St. Louis, it was magnificent. I mean, it was just awe-inspiring. But I don't know what happens to people who are born on an eclipse, if anything different happens to him. If anything. We got to ask that to the astrologer, Mark Lerner.
Have you ever had bad luck during Mercury retrograde?
To be very honest with you, I would not know when Mercury retrograde is.
Okay. You know, but you've heard that, right?
Of course I've heard it, but I'm not an astrologer. I don't follow, you know, I'd let them do their thing, but I don't follow the alignment of planets and things like that.
But, I mean, have you heard that people, like, during Mercury retrograde, you shouldn't, like, maybe sign contracts and do things?
Yeah, Glynis will tell you specifically.
Yeah.
Glynis McCants, the numbers lady, to do certain things on certain days and to not do certain things. She has told people not to get married on the dates they've picked.
Yes. You know? Yeah, I know she does.
And she's been pretty accurate.
The last one, I just had like a series of things go wrong. That's why I thought about it.
Okay. Well, take care of Annie for us, all right? Get the contact info that she has on the wild line. Next up, we go to Gina Maria in Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Gina.
Hello. God bless to everyone and everything everywhere. And thank you for taking my call. And peace
You're
and love.
Welcome. Thank you.
Wanted to tell you about a Bigfoot experience I had. It was on the backside of Lake Stevens here in Washington, right next to the Granite Falls Highway.
Okay, what happened?
Well, there's a lot of, first of all, there's a lot of Bigfoot and sightings in Granite Falls, just so you know. A friend and I were about to leave the house, and another friend was going to stay at my house, and we went to walk out the door. She was in front of me, and she opened the door. And when she opened the door, we heard this thing. It was very tall, maybe 9 feet or so, maybe taller. Believe it was Bigfoot. It was probably 2 feet away around the corner of the house right there. And it went, "Ugh!" And we just stood there in shock. And it did it a second time louder, "Ugh!" And we stood there in shock, and then it did it a third time, each time louder. And it didn't sound like a bear, and it didn't sound like a man. It sounded like a cross between a man and an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we promptly slammed the door shut. And what it was after, I believe, was there was a bucket of apples on the porch. And I've heard since, you know, that they really love apples.
Well, when you went back out eventually, were the apples gone?
No, because I think we scared it when it was just about to get the apples.
Really?
Yes.
He wasn't bold enough to come back, huh?
No, it didn't come back that night, and then I made sure to get the apples off the porch. But I have two more just short things to tell you, too. I had spotted in Granite Falls again on the highway. It's kind of a lonely highway in the middle of the night. And spotted this creature. It was not a coyote. It was not a wolf. We're not supposed to have wolves. But it was bigger than a coyote. It had kind of bigger and broader in the shoulders and kind of stood up more in the shoulders. And it had spikes going up its back.
Spikes?
It reminded me of almost like spiky, like the fur was spiky looking.
Like some strange reptile-looking creature.
I was thinking some sort of cryptozoologist kind of creature of some sort.
Weird.
Kind of reminded me of the creatures in Lady in the Water movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen that. The ones that come out of the grass.
Yeah.
And they have these spikes on the back. And then the other one was on the land I'm on now. It was white. And I don't know. I don't know if it's in the canine family or what it was, but it was all white, and it resembled more of a lion. Again.
Huh. Like an albino lion?
Yeah, like some sort of, and we don't have lions, some sort of strange, again, another strange creature, and my dog was in the car with me, and we just stared at it, and it stared at us.
Jeez, you've seen some weird creatures out that way, Gia Maria.
I know, and then there's one more, but I'm not sure if I should tell you it, because I don't want to be laughed at.
Well, let's be laughed at. What is it?
Okay, I've heard two people call in before about this, and they were literally cut off the line. Okay.
Well, you only get cut off for profanity. You know that.
No. It wasn't profanity. They didn't say profanity. Okay. My friend was driving. It's a hill going down and curves a lot. So she didn't see it. But her daughter, who's 16, and I both saw it. 6-foot bunny.
A 6-foot bunny?
And I think it's some sort of interdimensional, some sort of creature. I mean, some sort of interdimensional something. But I've heard two other people call on this. And her son was asking me about it, and he said, what did my sister and you see? And I was telling him. And while I was telling him, I finished telling him, and then the lady called in the radio show about a 6-foot bunny.
Was it during Easter time?
No.
Oh,
no.
I thought maybe someone was in a bunny costume or something.
No.
You never know. Okay, a 6-foot bunny. Let's go to Sean in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Sean, welcome to the program.
Hi. Pleasure to talk to you.
You too. Thanks for hanging in there so long.
Well, the reason I'm calling tonight is I've had something happen to me, and I was hoping you could steer me toward the website or somebody to contact to speak to find out some information.
Okay, what happened?
On two occasions, one in July of 1991 and one in October of 2015, the best way I can describe it is to say that I was teleported.
Where did you go?
Just a little ways. The first time it happened, I was heading eastbound on the Ohio Turnpike.
So you were in your vehicle when this happened?
Yes, and I somehow skipped 31 miles.
That happens to people, too. And you have no recollection of what happened in between.
No, and I confirmed it because I was on a turnpike, you know, I had my ticket telling me when I got on the turnpike, I went 33 miles in 3 minutes.
That's impossible, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know, it was a good thing, though, because back then I drove a car that got really bad gas mileage and it saved me a couple gallons of gas.
It did. They picked you up and dropped you back off again.
I guess. But the second time it happened, it was not so pleasant. I got moved about 12 miles in the opposite direction to where I was going. I was driving again, coming home from work.
Okay. Nighttime?
And I had a lot of side effects. I had lower back pain, shoulder blade pain, and a lump on the left side of my jaw that looked like somebody punched me in the mouth.
Hmm. When did you notice that?
The pain?
Yeah.
Before I even made it back to my place, it came on within 30 minutes.
Okay.
And I still have a lump on my left jaw. That has not completely dissipated.
Well, I tell you what you can do. Go to our website. There's a search engine at the top right-hand corner. You just click that. Type in alien abductions, and you will get some of the best, they've died. Dr. John Mack, Bud Hopkins, they're not with us, but there's still some others out there. And get to their website, but just type in alien abductions and definitely tell them your story. That's truly amazing. Pam's in Rochester, New York. Hi, Pam.
Hi, George. Thank you for asking me to come.
That's right. You're a little overmodulated, but give it your best try.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yeah, but it sounds like you're...
Yes, I was listening to the Bigfoot story earlier.
Yeah.
And what about it? The sounds you recorded earlier?
It was strange.
No, I actually heard it before.
Where'd you hear it?
I used to live in a little town outside of Rochester, New York.
Okay.
Every night, I always heard that.
You've heard that howl?
Yes.
Have you had Bigfoot sightings out that way?
Yes, actually, a couple of times.
Yeah.
I had a cat named Gremlin.
This could be the real thing.
Yeah. I called him a couple of times.
You called him? Like you wanted to see him?
And I actually saw him because my cat was coming toward me.
What did he look like?
No.
Did it look like a typical Bigfoot?
Yes.
Tall, hairy, all that kind of stuff.
Way.
Wow.
The first time I saw, I thought it was my uncle because he was drunk. But the second
Stumbling home.
Yeah. The second time, when I really said, because it's not a second time, because I sent my dog out because he liked to go to the bathroom.
Weren't you scared?
Yes. The second time, my dog ran running back in because she loves to be out there for like hours. But she ran back in. And I looked up why she came back in. And the guy, his eyes were glowing.
His glowing eyes, red eyes?
Green.
Green eyes.
I wanted to scream, but it couldn't come out.
You still want to see another one of these, Pamela, or are you done?
No. Sorry. But no.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Keep away from those creatures. Hey, we're going to wrap things up. I'm going to be back in Los Angeles for our shows starting on Monday. We've got the great group of programs for you. And need to email me with your story ideas. That's george@coasttocoastam.com. And you might want to send these emails a couple times. We've been getting inundated with emails lately. And like Annie was saying, she sent 10. I haven't seen them yet. So if you've got any story ideas or information or things that you want to send us, just send them along at george@coasttocoastam.com. And do keep your eyes on our Twitter feed because we send out information on that every day as well. And also follow us and like us on Facebook.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone.
For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasore, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.